You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 176. Now, I'm going to be very interested in your feedback, your thoughts, and your comments about today's episode, because we're doing something a little bit different. As many of you know, up until now, during the previous 175 episodes, we've either had a guest on the show, which means that we've phoned or Skyped a guest somewhere around the world, and they've talked about their dream, which I haven't heard of before, and you hear me hear the dream for the first time, and I talk to the dreamer about the dream, we interpret the dream, see how it relates to their waking life, and take it from there. That's one format we've been doing. The other format we've been doing is what I call a talkie, which is without a guest, where I just talk to you about dreams and interesting things around dreams, and give dream interpretation tips, maybe read some of my blog. And it occurred to me, and I mentioned at the end of episode 175, that we might try a different way of having a guest on the show. People have been, in the early days, we had avalanches of people wanting to be a guest on The Dream Show, and that's kind of slowed down. And we thought about it and listened to some feedback from people who felt that coming on the show live was a bit vulnerable for them. You know, they had listened to many of my shows and realized how accurate and how deep and how personal some of the interpretations were. And while the people that have actually been on the show have always given me very positive feedback from their experience and said that they really enjoyed that and got so much out of it, I think for many listeners, there's that feeling, oh, that's a brave, courageous thing to do. I'm not so sure that I want to do that. So we thought we would invite, and I did this at the end of episode 175, people to send in a dream by email for me to interpret on air. And Marietta was a lovely volunteer who did just that. So today, episode 176, we're devoting the entire episode to Marietta's dream, and this is our experiment with doing it without Marietta online here. But I will explain the process that I went through so that you know this going in. But just before we go there and we go to my guest in absentia on today's show, I'll just remind you of the website address, especially if you're listening to this for the first time. You might want to go and explore the website and see what else is available there, whether it's free resources, whether it's books and ebooks that I've written, whether it's my services, consultations, training. There's a whole lot of stuff there. And of course, whether it's my blogs, of which there are many hundreds. And also where you can listen to all the other 175 episodes of The Dream Show if you're not listening through iTunes. So that website address is janetheresa.com, and that's Theresa without an H, or find me on Facebook and you'll find your way in that way. So Marietta responded to the request for people to email in her dream, and she found the right place on the website and she did it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin by reading out the dream that she sent in. And once she sent in the dream, I read it. And then, as I do with all email interpretations that I do professionally or that I will do through the dream show, after I've read the dream, there are usually things that I need to clarify. So I emailed several questions to Marietta just to clarify aspects of the dream, and I'll go through those with you as well. When we have a guest live on the show, you'll have heard me do that. You'll have heard the guest explain and describe the dream. And then you'll have heard me say, now, when you were in the house, was it? You know, so I'm asking clarifying questions. So I'm aiming to keep that in by emailing the guest, in this case, Marietta, with my question. So I'll share her replies. And then what I'll then do is I'll reread the dream, but working her extra clarification replies in. And then I'll talk you through just some of the ways in which I dipped into the dream. I won't go through all of them because that would make it an awfully long and boring podcast. I'll go through some of them. And then I'll skip to read out the interpretation that I then emailed back to Marietta. And then I'll read the email that she emailed back to me after she'd read that interpretation. So that's the method that we're going to go through. And if you've got feedback on the method, that would be great too. It may be that if we get a lot of people submit very short dreams, that we might do the occasional podcast where I might cover two or three dreams and take a less in-depth approach. But today we're experimenting with taking a dream and doing an approach almost as in-depth as we would do having a live guest on the show. So enjoy, go along with me. The difference between this dream and ones you'll have heard before where I've got a guest on the show is clearly I've already read the dream and worked on it in this show, whereas when the others, when we've got a live guest on the show, I have no idea about the dream until the conversation which we record takes place. So you'll notice that difference as well. So when Mayetta emailed me, she introduced herself and said, "Before I describe my dream, let me tell you how much I like your podcast. It has brought much interest and a new dimension into understanding my dream life, and I welcome the idea of working with dreams in this new format. I've been listening to your show for a couple of years now and must admit that I enjoy the guest on the show very much and I prefer it to the talkie show. However, I'm not bold enough to raise my hand up and volunteer just yet. So let's explore this avenue." She also adds, "English is not my mother tongue. I'm from Slovenia." She actually lives in Slovenia, and Slovene is my first language. "This might be helpful for you to know. Maybe some expressions in the dream description are strange, and if there are any puns, I will have to identify them myself." She goes on to say, "I'm currently working quite intensely on the exploration of my inner calling, of the expressions of my calling, of the ways of being in the world, especially concerning my professional life. I had this dream a week ago, and it has had more emotional charge than any other dreams in this period. I remember the last dream of the night almost every morning, and I keep a dream diary with irregular entries. I do not write every morning. I write around 2 to 3 dreams a week." So with that background, here's her dream. It's called Escape from the Drowning Place. "I find myself in a building. Here I am settled. The building is in a modern style, well, not the latest architectural design, but it's not ancient. Suddenly I am in water. Deep waters start filling the place very quickly. I begin to think about a rescue. The ceiling is nearing. The fear starts rising in me that I will drown soon. Something stops my attempts at rescuing. There is a female voice telling me I cannot get out. I start negotiating with the voice. I explain that if I drown, there will be much sorrow. I am someone's child and I have 2 children too that are dependent on me, which is true in my waking life. This does not help. The ceiling is getting nearer. I could now touch it, and I already imagine myself in deep waters grasping for the air. Suddenly the dream scene changes. I am in the other part of the same building, and there is no water. Still afraid and in fear from drowning, I am running to find an exit. I hear now 2 women trying to catch me. I'm looking for the exit frantically. There is a glass wall and it has glass doors. I can see that there is an open countryside out there. I try the doors and they open to my luck and relief. I come out of the building, released, but again in trouble because now my legs are becoming heavier and heavier and I can hardly run. My legs are not following my urge to escape. I run slowly, with great force, in the direction behind the building, and I notice someone following me. It is another woman, and she soon catches up with me, then stops me. I cannot move anyway. She is convincing me and persuading in the fact that I have to be there. I feel defeated, and I just stand there, failing to escape. So that's the dream, and you'll find if you go through this process that on the form where you put the dream in, there's another bit in the form where I ask you to describe the people in the dream. So she's done that, and this is what Marietta's put. The woman's voice and the three women are not known to me from my waking life. They are strangers to me, so it's a difficult task to describe them. I will go as I learned from you, and I will describe who these people remind me of, and then I will describe them. The description will probably be based more on the feeling in the dream and not from the waking life. The two women who ran after me remind me of some school teachers going after kids in the school who don't obey. They are strong, punitive, and determined. The woman who finally catches me is like a bossy nurse who knows what is good for you, even if you don't agree. I describe such a nurse, bossy, controlling, and powerful, even abusing her power towards weak and dependent patients who don't have the guts to oppose. I expect you to ask me about the female voice. I would describe the one with such a voice as omnipotent, omniscient, and impersonal. So I then read through that dream, had a think about it, and I emailed Marietta back some questions about the dream for my clarification. And you might want to even hit pause at the moment and think about the dream yourself. It's one of the advantages of doing it this way. And you might even ask yourself, what questions would I want to ask Marietta? Because the questions you ask are not only important in clarifying your understanding of the dream so you can interpret it, but asking questions is part of the magic of both the interpretation and the therapy. It's getting the dreamer's closer feelings around some of the symbols and elucidations. So I'll read out the questions I send and Marietta's answers, and then once we've done that, we'll blend all of that together in a reread of the dream before going through the interpretation. The first question I asked was, what was the purpose of the building you were in at the start of the dream? Marietta says, that was not really very clear in the dream, or I don't remember clearly. I would say that it was intended for work and training and not for residence, even though I had a feeling that this work might include a period of residence at this place. I then asked, how long had you been settled there, do you feel? What do you mean by settled? She said, it has not been a long time. I might have just arrived a short time ago, a few days maybe. I used the word settled because I couldn't find the right translation. It is used in the sense of being there for a while for a certain purpose that requires my presence there. I asked Marietta, apart from its architectural style, what did you feel was the personality of the building before the water arrived? Marietta said, this is also a difficult question for me. I would describe the personality of the building as firm, in the sense of steady, stable, determined, but also broad-minded and inclusive and receptive. This is the place for differences and variation. I asked Marietta, did you have any feeling about where the water was coming from? She said, no, no idea. I asked, can you describe the water? Was it clean? Was it cold? The water was clean, rather warm or of body temperature. It had the feeling of water from nature, as in the sea, and not from water pipes. Even though it was quickly rising, it had a quality of being still, not running as in rivers. It had this feeling as in infinite oceans. Although I hadn't seen the ocean in my life, I go to the sea every summer and enjoy it very much, swimming and relaxing in the sea. I asked, how did the ceiling feel when you touched it? Was the texture as you expected or different? Marietta said, the ceiling was white concrete, same as I expected. I don't remember this part very well. I asked, how does the female voice respond to your negotiation? She said, "It doesn't seem affected by my arguments and reasons. It does listen to me, but it is determined in its decision that here is the place for me." I asked, "Further in the dream, now you're in the other part of the building where there's no water, in what other ways does this part of the building differ from the first part you were in? Also, does it have a different purpose, do you feel?" Mayetta said, "It doesn't feel so different in its main purpose. Well, this part of the building is more of a passage to some other parts. It feels like a big hallway or corridor to other places of the building." I asked, "When you hear the two women trying to catch you, what do you hear? Voices? Footsteps?" "I hear their steps. I turn to see whose they are, still running. I could notice the two women running after me." "How do you feel about the glass wall? Does it remind you of anything or anywhere?" I asked. Mayetta said, "Glass walls remind me of some public buildings like primary schools or libraries or big shops that have one part of the wall all in glass on the entrance. I have no particular association. In the dream, the glass wall gives me hope and an idea that there is also outside, that I can get out and escape the danger of drowning. In above-mentioned public buildings are sometimes several doors, but only one opens." I asked, "How do you feel about the open countryside you see through the glass?" She said, "In the dream, the open countryside is very attractive to me. It means freedom from drowning, or freedom from the fear of drowning." "What is the personality of that open countryside?" I asked. Mayetta said, "It is free, unrestricted, open, accepting." "How would you feel being in that open countryside as opposed to seeing it through the glass?" I asked. "I would feel free and on my own, however, also unprotected and alone." I asked, "What are the risks and dangers of being in the open countryside?" She said, "It is so wide and open, so that there is no particular shelter. Being there would feel exposed and vulnerable, even scary." "What are the advantages of being in the open countryside?" I asked. Mayetta said, "There is freedom, many possible directions to follow, many exciting and new things and unexplored terrains to discover. You run in the direction behind the building. Were the glass walls and door at the back of the building? Are you running in the same direction, or are you running around the building to the back?" I asked, because I was very confused about that part of the dream. Mayetta said, "I am running behind the building to the back, seeing the vastness of the open countryside. I hope there is somewhere to hide from the people who were after me." "When the woman stops you, how does she do this? Does she actually touch you?" Mayetta said, "I don't remember she would touch me. I am already moving very, very slowly because of my heavy legs. So when she comes to me and starts talking to me, I just stop and give up." And the last question I asked, "You described the woman with the voice as impersonal. Do you mean she was an impersonal entity, or that she acted impersonally towards you?" Mayetta said, "I meant she was an impersonal entity, and not that she was acting impersonally towards me. I feel the female voice cared very much that I stay there." After answering all those questions, Mayetta then added, "So these are my answers. I hope they help you in your analysis and interpretation. It's so interesting that I'm having some vague ideas already when remembering and writing those details, especially in trying to be accurate in my descriptions in a foreign language. I hope that not much was lost in translation. I'm really very curious by now and looking forward to your analysis of my dream." So I mention that because it is when I'm working with a person, or when you've heard me working with people on the podcast show, the Dream Show, or if you're working with people, or if you're working with yourself, it's asking those questions and answering them that is quite key. It's expanding on your answers to the questions about the dream. And it's in doing that that you often hear yourself express and use words that do relate to what's going on for you in waking life, or that give you certain feelings of, oh, that actually feels like, oh, that relates in some way that I can't quite put my finger on. And then you know that you're onto something. So I haven't actually written this out. I'm going to see if I can do this. I'm now, as promised, going to reread the original dream, but putting most of those answers into it. So I'm reading the expanded version of the dream before interpreting it. I find myself in a building. It's a place that I would say is intended for work and training. But it gives me a feeling that there's a period of residence at this place that I have to go through. Here I am settled. It's not been a long time. I might have just arrived a short time ago, a few days maybe. It's a feeling of being there for a while for a certain purpose that requires my presence there. The building is in a modern style, well, not the latest architectural design, but it's not ancient. I would describe the building as firm, steady, stable, determined, but also broad-minded and inclusive and receptive. It's a place for differences and variation. Suddenly, I am in water. I don't know where it's coming from. Deep waters start filling the place very quickly. The water's clean, warm, body temperature. It has the feeling of water from nature, as in the sea, and not from water pipes. Even though it was rising quickly, it had a quality of being still, not running in rivers. It had this feeling as in infinite oceans, and a little bit like the sea, where I enjoy very much swimming and relaxing. I begin to think about a rescue. The ceiling is nearing. The fear starts rising in me that I will drown soon. Something stops my attempts at rescuing. There is a female voice telling me I cannot get out. I start negotiating with the voice. I explain that if I drown, there will be much sorrow. I am someone's child, and I have two children too that are very dependent on me, which is true in waking life. This does not help. The ceiling is getting nearer. The voice is impersonal. It is listening to me, and it cares very much that I stay there. It doesn't seem affected by my arguments and reasons. It does listen to me, but it is determined in its decision that here is the place for me. I can touch the ceiling now, and already I imagine myself in deep waters grasping for air. The ceiling was white concrete, as I expected. I don't remember this part of the dream very well. Suddenly, the dream scene changes. I am in the other part of the same building. There is no water. This part of the building doesn't feel so different in its main purpose. It's more of a passage to other parts. It feels like a big hallway or corridor to other parts of the building. Still afraid and in fear from drowning, I am running to find an exit. I hear now two women trying to catch me. I hear their steps. I turn round to see who they are, and I see two women running after me. I am looking for an exit frantically. There's a glass wall and it has glass doors, and I can see that there is open countryside out there. Glass walls remind me of some public buildings like primary schools or libraries or big shops that have one part of the wall all in glass on the entrance. The glass wall gives me the hope and idea that there is also an outside, that I can get out and escape the danger of drowning. Sometimes there is only one door to open. I see the open countryside out there. I try the doors and they open. To my luck and relief, I come out of the building. The countryside is very attractive to me. It means freedom from drowning or from the fear of drowning. It feels free, unrestricted, open, accepting. If I were in that countryside, I would feel free and on my own. However, I'd also feel unprotected and alone. It's so wide open that there is no particular shelter. Being there, I would feel exposed and vulnerable, even scary. However, I can see there is freedom, many directions to follow, many exciting and new things, and unexplored terrains to discover. However, although I am released, I am again in trouble because now my legs are becoming heavier and heavier, and I can hardly run. My legs are not following my urge to escape. So she's running behind the building to find somewhere to hide, and she notices someone following her. The women who are following me are like school teachers going after kids in school who don't obey. They're strong, punitive, and determined. And the woman who finally catches me is like a bossy nurse. She's bossy, controlling, and powerful, even abusing her power towards weak and dependent patients who don't have the guts to oppose. It's that woman who soon catches up with me, then stops me. I cannot move anyway. She is convincing me and persuading me in the fact that I have to be there. I feel defeated and I just stand there, failing to escape. I just stop and give up. So let me know in your feedback whether you felt that that was interesting, whether that was tedious, but it's really an important part of the interpretation is to expand the original dream with some of the dreamer's feelings about the symbols and the feelings in the dream. And I hope that as you listen to that, you might have been getting some of the feelings as Marietta got in answering the questions for the meaning of the dream. I'm going to very, very briefly just go through a couple of notes that I took in that, and then I'm going to read the interpretation that I sent Marietta. So one of the many ways that you can approach a dream when you're analysing it, and there are many, many ways, but one is that you can, and you really need to use lots of different approaches together, and the approaches that you select and use can be different for different dreams. But one valuable one is to look at the beginning of a dream, especially when it's not a dream fragment, you know, a whole kind of dream story has been remembered, as this one has, is to look at the beginning of the dream as the situation, and I'll help you to understand that in a minute, and then to see where the first problem or question comes up. Because most dreams are actually, oh, there's a situation and then this problem comes up. Or there's a question I'm asking or something's got to be solved. And then a lot of the rest of the dream is the dreamer trying to solve that problem or not solve it, run away from it, or trying to answer the question. And sometimes by the end of the dream, there's a resolution. You know, they've sorted out the problem. They've found an answer. And often there's not, and that's where the dream is unresolved. So that's the little approach that I'm going to work you through here. So the situation in Marietta's dream is that she's in a building. Now you look down the dream, and where does the problem first begin? The problem isn't in the building. The problem is when suddenly there's water rising and she's going to drown. So prior to that first problem is the situation. I'm in a building. I'm settled. Da-da-da-da-da. So that translates, given all the feedback that Marietta's given, as she feels settled for a while in a period of work and training and purpose and required to be here. She described the building as steady, stable and determined, yet also broad-minded, inclusive and receptive. Now, I saw those as almost the yin and the yang. So the yang, the male aspect, or the left brain, steady, stable, determined. And the yin, or the right brain, broad-minded, inclusive, receptive. She noted that the building was a place for differences and variations. So it's almost as if the situation that is in her life at the moment and the dream is about to address is a situation where there's either a balance between steady, stable and determined about work and training and purpose in her life, and that balance with broad-minded, inclusive and receptive, or a conflict between the two. Now, given that the next thing that happens is that water starts rising and there's danger and she's got to escape, we can be pretty sure that she hasn't actually got these in balance. This is a sense of there's a conflict. There's a conflict between what in my life, and whether it's my actual work and training or my life purpose or something about my inner life, there's a conflict between what I feel could be steady, stable and determined, or, you know, where I feel steady, stable and determined, with what might be more broad-minded, inclusive and receptive. So the theme of her dream, the situation she's trying to explore, is how to resolve that conflict. And we start off by knowing that it's quite a frightening emotional issue, because there's panic, there's water rising, and there's huge fear. So in any language, and I'm sure in Slovene as well, that sense of the water rising and the fear rising and the rising panic all go together. There's a sense of rising panic, of rising fear, of drowning, of not being able to breathe. It's panic, it's sheer panic, it's terror, it's fear that this conflict is bringing up for her. And she wants to be rescued. So what is this fear that's rising up for her? There are many possibilities, and you'll hear the ones that I suggest when I read the interpretation in a minute. But one of the things that Marietta negotiates with the voice at this stage, negotiates for rescue, is that there'll be great sorrow if she drowns. So one of the things, one of the big emotions that may be rising in her, or arising fear, is around sorrow or grief. The others are just fear itself. And also, because we know the situation is a conflict between steady, stable and determined, and broad-minded, inclusive, receptive, or between yin and yang and yin, left brain, right brain, there may also be a fear around some of that. The fear is rising up from the ground up into her throat, threatening to drown her. So it's perhaps a fear of the feminine, the creative, what we think is the heart side of our body as opposed to the head, the heart lifting up to our head and drowning us. So those are some of the fears, the rising fears that she's feeling. She feels trapped, because if that ceiling wasn't there, she may be able to get out or swim away. But if the water keeps rising, she's going to run out of breath. She can't swim somewhere else. She's getting trapped. So we know that she's unable to deal with this problem immediately in the dream, unable to deal with the sense of panic or fear, because she feels that it traps her. The ceiling's almost like a concrete limitation. And that's why I asked her what was the texture of the ceiling. And she came back with the word concrete. You know, and we talk about concrete thinking and concrete beliefs, the concrete mind as opposed to the receptive, fluid, feminine aspects of ourselves. So there's that feeling that there's a concrete limitation, and maybe the steady, stable, determined part is the limitation that's maybe stopping the broad-minded, inclusive, receptive from flowing in her life. It's drowning her instead of flowing. So we're still on the problem and how she's kind of dealing with the problem. She's trying to deal with the problem by negotiating out of it. And the thing that she's negotiating with is this sort of omniscient kind of spiritual voice that doesn't respond to reason. But in fact, although she doesn't respond to reason and argument, seems extremely determined and stable and steady. So there's a bit of a paradox there. And this voice is insistent that she should stay there. So already we know that although the panicking part of her is negotiating for rescue, it's almost like the concrete ceiling part of her is going, you've got to stay here, you've got to face this, you've got to be steady, you've got to be stable, you've got to be determined, there's something you've got to learn and you've got to face here. And that can be explored in the interpretation I read. Are there solutions that Marietta tries in this dream? We know what the problem is. The first solution she's tried is negotiating. That hasn't worked. She's tried thoughts of escape. She tried negotiating, but the negotiation's one-sided. So, hey, that's not actually a negotiation, is it? So the conflict she's feeling is a one-sided conflict. She wants to escape the rising fear or feeling of sorrow. She's told that she can't. There's a feeling that the voice cares very much that she stays there, but is this a loving, caring side of Marietta that does not negotiate, is extremely disciplined and insists that she stays and suffers, overcomes, feels that, well, we'll get onto this in the interpretation. Her resolution at this stage of the dream is a kind of passive resolution. She does touch the ceiling. She's forced to touch the ceiling, and yet that kind of releases her to another part of the dream. So there's a sort of resolution, and I interpret that as she gets in touch with the ceiling. She gets in touch with the limitation to some extent, and this actually then gets her into another part of the building where there's no water. So there's a sense of getting in touch in the dream with, okay, I've got a concrete maybe thinking limitation here, and I'm beginning to get in touch with that, at least in my dream. So let's move this on a bit. Let's explore this without the sense of the rising fear and panic, without the water. So we then kind of go to the second part of the dream, which is a further exploration without the water, but it is also a sense of repeat, but without the water. And you'll often get that particularly in a long dream. This isn't a long dream, but a long dream will be like this, and then you'll get that kind of repeat of the problem and different ways of trying to solve it, or a repeat of the motif that goes unresolved. So here we are in the second part of the dream. It's very similar, but there's no water. It's more of a passageway. So there's more of a feeling that I'm kind of, don't feel like I'm drowning immediately. There's no immediacy of this feeling anymore, but I'm still frightened of drowning, so I'm still trying to escape. So she's not coming to terms with it. She's not facing it, and whether or not those are valuable approaches will work out in the interpretation. But she's found a new way of coping with the problem, which is that she feels she's more in a passageway. It's like, I'm not stuck. There is a way between A and B. There's a way to get out of here. And in a sense, she's now chased by the women. So instead of the feeling of the water drowning her, instead of the water and trying to get away from the water, she's trying to get away from the women. Now remember, at this part of the dream, she's actually trying to get out of the building because she's frightened that the water will come back. But the dream has shown the water as the women. It's the women chasing her, even though she's trying to escape from both the women and the fear of water. So there's a replacement of symbol here, and that's important because the women can give us a better feel for what the water is. And as you'll remember, she described the women as more controlling and bossy and dutiful and, where's my bit of paper here? Strong, punitive, determined, abusive of power towards the weak and dependent who don't have the guts to oppose. So the problem's still there, but the water's been replaced by women to some extent. She tries different solutions, and she does actually almost get a way out because she, although she feels frantic, and that's actually almost a sense of, rather than having the water drowning her, she's beginning to identify one of the emotions of the water and it's feeling frantic. She gets to a sense of hope, the glass doors. Open doors to an open place, there's hope. But she also sees those glass doors as related to public buildings and a feeling of relief and luck. So there's a sense there of coming out into the public. You know, was the first part of the dream all about her inner self, and the second part of the dream is escaping to the outer world, the public, or is it going public in a bigger sense? This will become clearer when I read the interpretation. But she notices there is still a big dilemma. And I won't go into it all because I'm sure you're with me by now, but there's the dilemma of, there's the countryside, it's got all these fantastic possibilities, you know, it's free, it's unrestricted, it's open, I could escape there, it could be wonderful, there are all sorts of wonderful opportunities for me there, there are exciting things I can follow, I can do, unexplored terrains to discover, but no, there's also conflict, I've still got the inner conflict with me, because I'd be unprotected and alone. I'd feel exposed, vulnerable, even scared. And at this point in the dream, the slow-mo comes in. Her legs are really heavy. Her legs are not following her urge to run, either to escape and hide or to get into the countryside. So she's got out into the open, but she's still got the conflict. The conflict, the inner conflict has not been resolved. It's heavy. Her legs are as heavy as self-doubt. It's her own self-doubt that weighs her down. She could run into the countryside, but she's has conflict there. She doesn't want the downside of what comes in the countryside. She doesn't want the fears there, and those fears will be similar to the rising water in the dream. So instead of facing that, and with this impending huge inability to be able to even escape or hide, and she's trying to hide, trying to get away from this terrible dilemma, this conflict, but in the end, Miss Bossy Controlling catches up with her, and she just gives up. She's defeated. She just says she stops. And the dream ends there. So there's no resolution other than I'm completely stuck. Like, the water isn't here now, but during the dream, I have discovered more about what the water represents. I've discovered more. So there's a whole journey of discovery, but at the end of the dream, she hasn't determined what to do about it. So as we go into the interpretation, we then want to give this feeling of what this dream is about and how it reflects my Yetta's life, and then offer within that some ways of resolving the conflict, of healing what underlies the conflict, healing what underlies the heavy legs, and allowing her then to see a range of choices, you know, maybe getting out into that open countryside, maybe not, maybe choosing a different option. That is one thing I'd like to leave you with before reading the next bit, and it's that thing that the woman that catches her says, or Mayetta says about her, I describe her as controlling, powerful, even abusing her power towards weak and dependent patients who don't have the guts to oppose. Now look at Mayetta at the end of the dream. It's her legs are heavy. She doesn't have the guts to oppose this bossy, controlling woman. She doesn't have the guts to say, I'm just going to fly into the open countryside now, or I'm going to go back into the building and face the emotional stuff, or excuse me, I'm going to go and have a cup of coffee or whatever it is. She is gives up. She's defeated. She's stopped. She's stopped by this energy that stops people who don't have the guts to oppose. So she's remembering that everyone and everything in a dream reflects something about the dreamer. It's for Mayetta to begin to understand, and I know that she does, that, you know, the bossy controlling women, the non-negotiable voice, all of these things are aspects of Mayetta's own inner conflicting world. So we know that there's this part of Mayetta, this bossy controlling part, that is not allowing the part of herself that would have the guts to oppose, that is holding her down, that is stopping her. And, you know, the guts to oppose, I'm sure, when Mayetta translated her dream from, or her feelings from Slovene into English, there was still that sense of the guts, meaning the courage, you know, I don't have the courage to oppose this heavy-handed, controlling, dutiful voice within myself. So I wrote down a couple of little notes for myself. I put, you know, recognize the inner conflict, the sense of defeat. What are some of the options? She can stay and face and explore the fears and beliefs and then leave. She can make an active choice, not an escape or an attempt to hide. She can build the guts. She can face the sorrow. Remember, this is all the inner work we're talking about. Is it about letting in? Is it about letting herself feel and be okay with the broad-minded, the inclusive, the receptive within herself? So those were the notes that I took. Those are the kind of notes that I take mentally when I'm interacting with someone, either when we've got someone on the show speaking with us in the dream show, or when I'm doing a consultation by phone or face-to-face in Brisbane. Those are the mental notes that I'm talking while we're speaking. It's a multitasking kind of thing you have to do. when I do an email consultation with someone, those are the kind of notes that I take for myself before I then write the interpretation. So I'm sure most of you are actually onto the interpretation now. However, with that was all I had been given. Everything that I've shared with you is all that I had been given by Mayetta. So I then went on and wrote the interpretation and sent it to her. Now, if you do an email consultation with me, this is not the kind of interpretation you get. If you read, if you're interested in that service and you read, it's a slightly smaller, not less, but a slightly smaller number of words, and I probably write in a slightly different language, a plainer and perhaps more poetic at the same time language. These are just the notes that I sent Mayetta, so I'm going to read you these now. So Mayetta's experience up to now was to send in the dream, to answer my questions, and to await, and this is the response she got. You have a very strong sense of non-negotiable spiritual discipline related to dealing with fear and sorrow, your own and maybe also other people's. At the time of this dream, you were feeling inundated by various fears and the potential sorrow and conflicted over how to resolve this. You are very determined in your approach to your spiritual discipline, often at the expense of relaxation and time out. The paradox is that taking time out to relax often brings the spiritual insight you're looking for. You have recently begun a process of inviting in, or being more receptive, to more self-acceptance, being more broad-minded within your self-discipline, and this has opened you up to feeling more of the fear your discipline may have been holding back. You have an urge to escape the fear and a conflicting voice telling you to stay and face it. Yet you feel that facing it would end in sorrow, or at least reveal the sorrow. There's concrete thinking, like the dream ceiling, that is limiting your potential, and you get in touch with this in the dream. This opens you to potential change, the passage, ultimately the view of the countryside, the open door. In the dream, you pursue escape or rescue, a running away from, rather than making a positive choice about what to go towards. Along the way, you glimpse hope, you sense relief, and credit luck, but you're still focused on escape and hiding, rather than on making a positive choice for yourself. That positive choice may involve facing fears, facing what you're running from, not in order to stay, but in order to move ahead to new ground. In the second part of the dream, the water symbol becomes the two women. In the first part of the dream, you're trying to escape from the water. In the second part of the dream, you're trying to escape from the women. The second part of the dream is about gaining clarity. You fear the punishing, determined, perhaps controlling, powerful aspects of the discipline you have been following. You wonder about any harm, abuse this discipline has caused you. And yet you have enough self-doubt to be stopped by these fears, to acquiesce to them, to, as you say in your answers to my questions, not have the guts to oppose, to accept punishment. When things work well for you, when doors open, you may discount this as luck. You saw it as luck when you tried a door and it opened, rather than seeing doors opening as a result of making a positive choice for yourself. Luck quickly turned to the heavy legs of doubt in your dream. One of the opportunities you have is to be more open and public in your personal or professional life, something you would welcome for its freedom, independence, and sense of self-acceptance, for its many possible directions to follow, and many exciting, unexplored terrains. Yet you fear feeling exposed and vulnerable, unprotected and alone if you choose this path. Inner conflict is keeping your legs heavy, keeping you stuck in the so-called safe confines of heavy self-discipline, a sense of safety in control and duty. So that was the interpretation, and then I added some more notes for Mayetta in the same email. So this is what I put. You said you're exploring your inner calling, and I can see the various conflicting voices in your dream, as I'm sure you can. The figure that seems to represent the main feeling of a calling is the first one, the voice, the calling. Of course, we can have many callings, and our callings can change at different times in our lives as we grow and as things change. A dream reflects your mindset of the last 1 to 2 days before your dream. So a dream will not necessarily reveal your calling, but will reveal your feelings and thoughts about your callings and the conflicts you have about these. Understanding those conflicts and working to resolve them, and do dream alchemy, brings insight and clarity and, with it, vision of what your spirit is calling you to do now. This dream offers you the opportunity to identify and resolve inner conflicts so that you can make positive choices about your direction, rather than feeling defeated by self-doubt. Rising water in dream is rising fear. It's like an ocean, and it's natural and body temperature, so it's also you being receptive to the ocean of your being, letting it rise up within you, but being fearful of this. To some extent, the spiritual voice tells you to stay with this, to allow this receptivity. And that is a good thing. But this is hard discipline when there's a concrete ceiling overhead, limited thinking that needs to be broken through. Being receptive to sorrow, a thought of potential sorrow or of buried sorrow, also being receptive to relaxation and enjoyment, like swimming in the sea. When you swim in the sea, you relax and enjoy. It's receptive, inclusive. The water in your dream suggests trying to keep this feeling out. It's punitive. You must work with great force. You said great force and determination. Fear of relaxing and enjoying. How might this be related to sorrow? Do you work hard to block out sorrow? Do you punish yourself because of sorrow? Do you try to stay in control to keep out sorrow, your own or other people's? Are you too empathetic? You allow yourself no room for negotiation. So that was the email that Marietta received. And after a couple of days, this was her reply. Dear Jane Teresa, thank you so much for your wonderful, in-depth and comprehensive dream interpretation. I didn't imagine there is so much of me in but one dream. In my first reading of the interpretation, I was somewhat puzzled and could not immediately understand what it is telling me or how does it all relate. Then I went slowly, paragraph by paragraph, and I began to realize how very true to my emotional reality it is. And the insight that struck me the most was how much I let the controlling side of me take power over the more sensitive and receptive and relaxed me. I was at first asking myself, what do you mean by the term spiritual discipline? What would that be in my waking life? Then, by reading the interpretation slowly, I could decipher its meaning, in the sense of identifying and following my calling and the way I relate to this process. I am indeed in much conflict, inner conflict, on how to resolve various fears and sorrows, which in this case I recognise as entirely my own, not those of others. I have always had much interest in my own inner workings, and I am engaged in several forms of personal exploration. I meditate, write a diary, keep a dream log, and follow your lovely podcast. Although I wouldn't say I am very strict and disciplined in these activities in a literal sense, I am not a regular meditator or a journalist, and I flexibly adapt the practices according to needs and circumstances. To add another dream-related information about me, I am a psychologist working in an academic environment, which includes a lot of emphasis on achievement and discipline. Yes, I am very determined that I want to solve my emotional conflicts, yet this strong determination, as you rightly propose, is preventing the insight I am looking for. Being inviting and receptive to feelings of fear and sorrow nicely relates to the fact that I have recently entered psychotherapy. Before the dream interpretation, I didn't realize, however, how much sorrow there is in me. This is obviously an emotional lack in my waking life, by which I mean that I do not push away the deep sorrow I feel in relation to my professional life. As I have started to explore my emotions towards my professional engagement, I can recognize the fears from feeling that deep anguish and grief I can now subtly, intuitively feel there is in me, especially in relation to unfulfilling professional life. I experience my academic work as more and more empty and depleting. However, I am successfully keeping the contact with the sorrow at bay. Another powerful emotion I would add to the interpretation, and I sometimes suspect it is holding me back, is fear of my own immense creative power that I sometimes connect with, and then I fear it could overflow me, so I prefer to have it under control. I was also wondering, what are my limiting beliefs of the concrete ceiling in the dream more specifically? I can see that my controlling characteristics are very strong, and they indeed provide me a sense of safety and stability. how safe this really is, you nicely put in the quotes. The safety of this kind, from the perspective of what I know and feel, now becomes really questionable. Yes, you are so right in the questions you put at the end of the analysis. I do work hard to block out sorrow, very cunningly, even with the very same methods I want to approach and resolve my emotional issues. I guess that I actually add to the tensions and inner conflicts when I approach them in my usual prevailing, controlling manner. Here I recognize the limiting belief that I can resolve this all by myself by hard work and conscientious discipline. The 1 to 2 days before the dream were specifically strong in the sense of contacting my inner emotional beliefs. It was a relaxed weekend doing nothing specially. I did feel the rising of tensions regarding my professional issues, and normally I am searching for immediate short-term solutions to resolve them, or numbing them by different excuses and activities. I wouldn't say I punish myself because of sorrow. Rather, I believe I am afraid of the potential powerful energy of the fears and sorrow, so I need great force and determination to not let myself feel it. I can recognize a lot of self-doubt as well. In the days before the dream, I was questioning myself whether I am making choices on behalf of my fears or on behalf of my spiritual vision. In the interpretation, you point out how the dream tells me that I am still focused on escape and hiding rather than on making a positive choice for yourself. I give in to the power of the fears and control the more energetic emotional part, afraid of relaxing and making positive choices in the direction of my calling. Since the dream, I did make some nurturing and gentle things for myself. I also noticed some cute instances of synchronicity. And most excitingly, I had another water dream. The night after I received your interpretation, I had a dream of being in the water. The emotional tone of the dream was less fearful and less disciplined, more spontaneous, and the dream plot showed some trust as opposed to self-doubt, though not the relaxation yet, I hope. Your analysis is really helpful to me. I really did not expect such a detailed interpretation, and what is more, I didn't imagine it to be so exact while not knowing anything about me. Okay, I know from listening to your podcast that you are so exact with other people's dreams and emotional issues, but now it feels so amazing that it's also applicable to me. It helps me so much in clarifying some of the emotional issues I'm struggling with right now. I find especially useful the notion of me being receptive both to fears and to sorrow, and to relaxation and enjoyment, because I would easily have overlooked it. I hope this dream will make a nice contribution to the dream show. I know it's very illuminating for me to hear someone's dream explored and interpreted. I would like again to express my gratitude for your inspiring and educational work that you do and making it available all over the globe. Your warmth and cleverness are amazing, and what is more, you generously share them with so many people so that we can all benefit by touching our own dream wisdom. Gratefully, Mayetta. So, what do you think about that format? Did you enjoy? Are you itching to send me a dream of your own to experience the same level of interpretation and share your dream with, as Mayetta says, all our visitors all over the globe? I have a feeling that although when we have a guest on the show, I do interpret deeply, there isn't as much opportunity to really hammer home so much of the interpretation because I then get really interested in following the lead of the dreamer and where they want to go and where they want to explore and listening to their life. So maybe we went a little bit deeper. Did you like that? Did you not like it? Email me, contact me, let me know how you felt because your feelings will shape, you know, your feelings in general by mass vote will shape the direction this goes. We're still open to having live guests on the show. We'll still have talkies. But is this Is this approach, the email interpretation, something that you would like to hear more of in the Dream Show? And if it is, do you like it in the kind of depth I've done? Would you prefer to have two or three dreams with less depth? I know this will depend on where you're coming from, but I know that in any case, to listen regularly to a whole hour, I don't know how long this one's been, a whole hour of the Dream Show does suggest that our listeners are, that's you, are very intensely interested in dream and dream analysis. Where to go from here? You might want to listen to this one a couple of times. If you're interested in the depth at this level, you might want to go to my site and explore some of the other options I've got, not just the email interpretations that I can do, obviously for a professional fee, where you'll receive a similar kind of but very private and confidential approach similar to what I've done today, or to have a phone consultation with me. But there are also various services that I don't think we've ever really outlined in a Dream Show, so I'll outline extremely briefly just some of them. There are packages, for example, where you have 6 one-hour phone consultations with me to explore your dreams in general. There are packages of 12 weekly sessions, which are dream therapy, which go as deep as what we've done with Mayetta here, but deeper still, where you and I talk on the phone or face-to-face in Brisbane and really get down to the nuts and bolts of your mindset, your conditioning, your emotions, your fears, your healing, your integration, everything. We get right down there and we do deep healing, wonderful stuff. We do the therapy of the dream work. So that's dream therapy. In the training area, I have programs which you can do face-to-face in Brisbane or by phone all over the world, and phone these days is easy. It doesn't even have to cost you if you do it by WhatsApp on a mobile phone or you Skype my landline. But the training options include a training course which is aimed at if you're already a therapist of some kind and working in the psychotherapy, psychology, healing, counseling kind of fields, and you've already got a good grasp of therapy and counseling and psychological or deep psychological psychotherapy work, but you want to get training in dream analysis in the way that I do it or dream therapy in the way that I do it, there are our dream training courses there, which have face-to-face hours of 20. A lot of that is training to a specific manual, which you also receive. You are, of course, given homework and assignments. and the last part of that course is structured individually so that you can determine a particular area that you're interested in, and I design that as we go and we do that. There is another training course for people that are interested in a similar kind of depth, but not you are not already trained and working in the psychotherapy or psychology or counseling field, so you don't want to go quite so deep and you want to do the course either just for yourself to interpret your own dreams or to help people out more on a dream interpretation level than on a dream analysis or dream therapy or dream alchemy level. So that course is there, similar kind of structure, 20 hours, bits of homework and tailored in the last section to respond to your particular interests. And there's also a training course, which is a spiritual quest course, which is not to do with learning. There's no manual involved. There's no homework. It's just the time we spend face to face or the time we spend on the phone. And it's 8 hours, 8 separate hours. And it's more when you've got an intention that you want to fulfill or a spiritual quest that you want to go on. And you want to do that through looking at your dreams. So it's again, these are not programs which are that I create for everybody, that they're all uniquely created and adjusted for you as you go through them, so that may interest you. I also have mentoring programs that you can explore on my site at janetheresa.com, and I put these up over the years because people started to do dream work with me, and then as they'd worked through their dreams, many people wanted to continue, but just on a mentoring basis. So in other words, to have regular contact, and maybe they didn't always have a dream, but they wanted just to discuss what was going on in their life, either on a kind of psychotherapy without the dream level or on a more of a mentor level. You know, okay, I've got this book I want to write. I'm stuck doing it. Can you help me? Or I've got this relationship issue, or I've got this career plan, or anything, all the things under which you like to put the name mentor. I have a number of people that have been with me for many years and always welcome new people that come into the mentoring programs. And it's basically an hour a week and or a month if you prefer. And we always start with me saying, well, how would you like to use this hour? And we go from there. There are other things there too that you can explore. Go have a look, janetheresa.com. But if you're hanging on for this bit of information, here it is. If you'd like to submit your dream to the Dream Show on a dream email level, go to my website, go to the menu bar, go to podcasts, and under podcasts, you'll see Be a Guest on the Dream Show. Go there, and right down the bottom, you'll see a form for sending in your dream if you want to volunteer to be a guest by email. Otherwise, please, I don't really like an inundated inbox, but in this one instance, I'm really happy to have an inundated inbox if you'd like to email me your thoughts and feelings about this new format on the show. Thank you for listening to what I think might have been a very, very long dream show. Thank you for staying with me. A special and huge thanks to Mayetta for bravely and courageously sending in her dream to be the first email dream on the Dream Show. Have a wonderful month. The next one that goes out, episode 177, in real time, I have written down it somewhere, I'm looking for it, in real time will go out on, I will find it. In the meantime, you can listen to all episodes of The Dream Show at janetheresa.com, and you can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes. So if you've got an iPhone and you've got your podcast app thingy, you can subscribe there and you'll always have the latest 10 episodes. The next episode, episode 177, is due out on the 29th of April. Have a wonderful month. I hope to hear from you in between then and now. And that's it. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Theresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.